We've joined now our campus in Vieira and our campus in Sebastian. Good to have you guys, and of course, all of you watching online. And more people are coming in the balcony. Fantastic. Good to have you up here. And if you will, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I'll be there starting in verse 13. And I have some interesting things to talk about this morning. I think you'll be very, very encouraged. Take a look on the overhead. And this windshield is a spiritual picture of forward, Now, when you see that, as we go forward, you don't know what tomorrow's like. I don't know what God's plan is, but here it is. God only knows your future as you look, as I look into the future. Second, only God knows his plan for you, his plan for me. Only God knows that. Now, here's something I want you to say, and you're going to think it's strange, but it's very powerful. Say this with me. Here we go. One, two, three. God is not finished with me. You say, what does that mean? You're going to learn a lot. Now, this morning, let me just say this. God woke me up. He wakes me up quite often, early. He was gracious today, 5 o'clock. And he wanted me to remind you, I'm serious, that God loves you. Think about every Christ follower that has this promise from God. He will never leave us while we're here on this earth. He'll never leave us. He lives in us. He's going to be with us forever. And we have the privilege of doing life every day before we go to heaven. Every single day. He loves us. He's done that. Now, there's one more thing. When we get to heaven, will he leave us? No, that's where he is. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. God will never leave your life, ever. Every day here on earth, till we die, or the rapture, and then in heaven, same forever and ever and ever. He'll be on the throne. Praise God. Now, one more thing God told me. Here's why you need to be thankful. Here's why I'm thankful. God could have easily chosen to use angels instead of people. You know what? They would do a lot better job than we would. Because they didn't debate except the ones that were serving Satan. They never debated. God said, go down there. They go down there. Sometimes we don't do that. So let me just say this. What an amazing future we have to go together with God now and live in heaven with God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and billions of other believers that are going to be there. God chose you. He chose me. Now, you know, when we get to the book of Revelation and the tribulation comes, guess what happens there? He uses angels, but he also uses 144,000 Jews to go and share the gospel. So the privilege we have is to go into all the world and share the gospel as humans. But he empowers us with the Holy Spirit and to be bold doing that very same thing. So we're going to learn what that discipleship means as we go through the service this morning. Now, Paul is going to do one thing to show us how to increase our spiritual maturity. Because many times we're not very mature. No, the opposite of mature is immature. And we're going to look at that in all of our lives. That's why I said to you, God is not finished with me, with you. Same exact principle, but he's working us toward that. Now, Paul had a goal, and he's in a prison environment, and he's writing his church this epistle, the epistle of Philippians, and later I'll use Colossians as well. And he's trying to challenge him what to do. Take a look at this. So Paul says, we tell others about Christ. That's how all these people are getting saved, because you guys are telling others, and other people online are telling others. And then he says this, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. And here's the key that Paul's talking about. We want to present them, that's all of you that I'm speaking to, whatever campus, wherever you are. He wants to present them to God. Let's read this together. Mature in their relationship with Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal for you. That's the goal for me. That's the goal for every Christian. So following God forward increases our spiritual maturity, growing spiritually up. And number two, it enables us to fulfill God's plans for us. See, God has a plan for all of us, and he uses people, as I just told you. That's who he chose to use. And he's got amazing plans for us. So after walking with God for many, many years, Paul basically said himself, I have not arrived. Now, he'd been growing like crazy ever since God changed him. But he realizes he's not satisfied. He's not as mature, excuse me, as he knew he should be. So he was trying to teach the church how to follow God and make sure that they would increase their spiritual maturity. Now, let's look at verse 3:13 in your Bibles. Now, some of this we've already covered, but I'll skip right by it very quickly. Paul writes to the church, it's just like Paul writing to you, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, we learned this a couple of weeks ago. Step one, I learned this one thing, forgetting what is behind. We learn from our past, but we don't live in the past. We move forward. And this is his second statement. And number two, interesting word, straining toward what is ahead. Straining, stretching to what is ahead. So this is step number two. Straining forward into my future, which should be for all of us, spiritual maturity. Now, spiritual maturity is a process that has a starting point. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, that's the first thing that gets a person into the body of Christ. The first step everybody has to take is become a convert, to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. But that's just the start. It doesn't matter if you're 95 and you accept the Lord, you are still a baby in Christ, because you're just beginning to learn. Now, after that, there is another step. God speaks about it a lot with the Great Commission. Then their spiritual maturity grows by becoming a disciple of Christ. Step one, convert. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Number two, you become a disciple. Now, the word disciple means a learner, a learner. See, we haven't arrived yet. So you have to learn more. You have to learn more. And here's my definition of a disciple, which is basically 100% biblical. A disciple is a lifelong learner under discipline. They just go, well, maybe I'm... No, no, no. It's lifelong learner under discipline, a growing, maturing Christ follower. See, Paul looked at his own life. He did his own kind of review of his own spiritual life. And he said, I continue to forget the past, the good and the bad. But he says, this next step, yeah, I'm looking into my future. There's more ahead of me. And Paul refused to stand still. He said, I'm doing good. I'm really growing in the Lord. But I want to be more like Jesus. Now, here's Paul, and I'll give you more next week. Here's two signs I'm going to give you this morning. What does a disciple look like? What does a disciple look like? Well, here it is. Number one, by a really holy disciple wears a green sweater. No, I'm just kidding you. Get out of here. All right, now, here's the sign. I'll wear a blue one next week. I'll say the same thing. Okay, here it is. Romans 8:29. Paul wrote this. Look what he writes. For God knew his people, which is you, in advance. And he chose them to become like his son. Think, be, and minister like Jesus. That's where we're headed toward. our role model is Jesus. And we're supposed to be headed to be like he is. That's maturity. That's our role model. Now, Paul, once a while in his scripture, he said, follow me, like he's the role model. Well, he was, but here's how he objected that. He said this, follow me as long as I'm following Christ. You see, there's some pastors that don't follow Christ, but they want you to follow them. Wrong. Paul knew exactly what to do. You can follow me. I'm not perfect. Remember, he's humble. I'm not perfect. But as long as I'm following God, if I'm obeying the Bible, you can follow me, because that's a human being giving you a kind of a role model in there. But ultimately, we follow Jesus. Then Jesus gave us another sign of growing disciple. So stop and think about yourself. Kind of look at your own life. Say, how are you doing? How are you doing? Are you becoming like Jesus? Think and live and minister and have a character of Jesus. Are you like that? Or how close are you? Is there an area that you need to be helped in? Just think about it, because those are the areas we have to grow. That's what Paul's saying. Now, here's the one from Jesus. And start evaluating yourself as well in this. Here's what Jesus says. John 15. When you produce much fruit, you are a convert. Is that what it says? What does it say? You are a what? A true disciple. There's a definition. It's a true disciple. A baby can't be that way. A baby Christian can't be that way. Now, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. That brings many, many glories to God. Now, what is the fruit he's talking about here? Well, here it is. Bold witness to share in the gospel. Let me give you an example. Sometimes we're not bold with the gospel. Sometimes we just have to be stirred a little bit. The disciples, the early disciples, remember after Peter and John got thrown into prison or whatever, they came back and prayed with their group, and they said, God, give us more boldness. We want to share the gospel. Well, when you think of boldness, that's really basically about the gospel, sharing the gospel. Now, just this last week, it's totally strange to me. I had an interaction with 5 different people in the last week, just real simple ones. On Tuesday night, I took my wife for her birthday out to dinner. And the manager of the place we went to eat, somehow he recognized me and he came by. And I got to share with him about God, what he's doing, how many people are getting saved, things people are coming back to church. It's really good. He was excited. Well, the next day or two before that, I had a problem with my air conditioner. And so one of the guys came over, and he was working with it, and he needed a friend because they had to put a new coil in. They put the whole thing up there. And these two guys, we just started talking like crazy about the Lord. It just opened up. And he was stuck with me because I'm in the garage while he's putting it up, baby. I just go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. No, he isn't really stuck with me. I find out he is a believer. And I just invited him to church, had those cards, and just did whatever. And another good thing, while I'm doing that, I said, God, I need your favor. And they put the whole thing in, the new everything, no charge. Hallelujah, went right to heaven right there. Because God was gracious to me. And then, 2 days ago, I'm outside, I'm just sweeping the walk. Don't you like the leaves and the nuts and the, drive me crazy. So I'm at to buy a new broom, just look down to nothing. And I'm there, and this guy walks by, and I think they're looking at putting some kind of roofs in a subdivision. Anyway, we get talking, and another guy comes. They're friends, and I got to talk to him. I could tell one of them's pretty much probably a believer, but I invited him to church anyway. And I talked about end times, which I'm going to do next week quite a bit as I talk about what we're facing in our world. And I just, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, I talked about God and what's happening in the end and how close we are, but we can't put a date on anything, but God's going to come and help us. Our world is in trouble, and they're going, man, this world is terrible. What? I'm going, yes. So that was bold because I didn't know any of those people. I didn't say to them, sit down for the next 3 hours and let me get through the book of Revelation for you. Yeah, that would be stupid. No, God just opened a door. So one of the areas of fruit is bold witness. Number 2, godly character. I don't care how talented we are. We have to be godly character people. What you see is what you get. Number three, good works. You'll see that in a moment in Ephesians. We were created to do good works for God. Next, a big one, generous giving. God is generous. He loves to give good gifts to all of us. And the last one, you guys already did it, generous, it's authentic praise. When we praise, we're not just going, is he worthy? No, you guys had your hands up, we're going, but, man, and you're, man, how about that drum? Boom, boom, boom. That was more exercise than most of you've had since January. I saw you. Whoa, 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 way to go. But see, it's what? It's authentic praise. He is worthy. Amen? All right, now, when you see that, take an evaluation of your life. Just really quick, take a look at those. What do you think? How are you doing? Are you producing fruit? But here's what Jesus goes. Here's what Jesus says. There's four quantities of fruit. Fruit, no fruit, more fruit. And here's the way Jesus ends. Much fruit. So what is that? That's a growing. That's like the growing in maturity. Same principle. It's not just, oh, I got a little fruit. No, it's supposed to be more and much fruit. It's a picture of healthy spiritual growth, which makes us more and more like Jesus. Now, Paul knew the necessity of moving forward in those areas. So he uses this term, you already saw me talk about it. Take a look on the overhead. Straining, stretching forward. Continued effort and hard work. Well, why should it be difficult for us who become a new believer and then we become a disciple, but growing in that to be close? Why use the word straining and stretching and reaching forward? Why? Because we don't live in a playground world. We live in a battlefield world. And we have three enemies that every day are after every follower of Christ and every disciple. Now, these three enemies, here where you see them, every day we contend with three powerful enemies. It's not weirdness, it's absolute truth. The world, I'll explain them very quickly, the flesh, our own flesh, and the devil. The enemy number one is the world system. Who owns the world? Who manages this world? Satan does. Overall, who manages it? God. But he allows a lot of things, and that's what we have. Remember when Jesus was being tempted, Satan said, you worship me, and I'll give you the whole world. You can rule it. You don't have to go to the cross. Jesus said, sorry, cross is already taken. Bye. See, the world system thinks and acts different than we do. That is run by Satan. He hates God. He hates the Bible. It encourages living for yourself, your will, not God's will. Remember the little parable of the sower? Like it's about seeds being planted. Well, the spiritual application of that is this that I'm giving you today out of the Bible is a seed. It's a spiritual seed. And it doesn't go into the ground. It goes into our hearts. And so I pray for hearts that are open to receive this, because that's when growth comes. Now, here's what happens. It says there in Mark chapter 4, the farmer, which would be me today, sows the word, the Bible. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. So they hear the word, but here's the thorns. You know when you go to your front yard and you see crabgrass. Why does it look green and it grows like crazy and your other grass sits there and dies? Well, that's a picture of this. This person is listening to the word, but it isn't going anywhere because the cares of this life, let me read it to you what it says. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in, and this is right from the Bible, in Mark 4:19, comes in, chokes the word, making it unfruitful. Wow. Do you know that I pray for you guys basically every weekend before I teach on the weekend? That the soil of your heart would be receptive. And you'll grow with this. Because this word is living. But Satan wants to distract you with a million things. So I have to keep focus. Thank you for doing that. You're great listeners and you're great learners. It's a picture of growth. Now, watch this. Romans 12. Guess who wrote this? Paul. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind, renew your mind from within. The battle's always in our thinking, from within, so that you may prove in practice, you live it out, that the plan of God for you is good, and it meets all the demands and moves toward the goal. This is right in the Bible. Toward the goal of true maturity. So that's a battle we have. We have to watch our mind. Satan's a liar. He's a deceiver. We have to go right back to the Word of God. Now, the world's goal is to seize us into carnal thinking. Sometimes what we think about, this is where the priority of the world, power, possessions, position, and pleasure. Well, if you focus on that, there will be no spiritual growth at all. It's all about things of the world. It has nothing to do with Christianity and growth. Now, God wants us to think like Jesus. Well, how do I think like Jesus? The Word. That's Jesus. He is the Word. He tells us that. The Bible teaches us how to think like that. Our second, how can I say it? It's hard to say it. Our second enemy is our flesh. When you were born again, when everybody is born again, the Spirit of God comes in, wipes out our sin, gives us a brand new start, forgets our sin, but I'm left with the old Balmer, my inner desires to try to do my will. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I never have a trouble with that. God says to do it. I 100% every time do it through my whole life. I've never once done my own will. You need to come to the altar right now. Please stand down out here. Not happening. Think how many times we went with our own will. We didn't follow God at all. And so when you see that, that's my old sinful nature, unrestrained, do my thing. No, it doesn't work that way. You cannot do that. So God will help me, because when the Holy Spirit comes in me, there's one thing he does. He's not only leading us, but he gives us the power when Satan tries to get my mind to go over there, do something over here that I know isn't right. The Holy Spirit enables me to say one word. No! And you have to say it to him. Hello? No! I'm out of here. Don't talk to me again. God has empowered me to go after him. See, you have to do it. Satan won't leave. When you say to Satan, get out of here, he has to go. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is more powerful than Satan. You understand that? Okay. So that's the discipline in us. A lifelong learner under discipline. Got it? Okay. Next one. We strain forward. Remember, it's always forward, not backward. We strain forward against becoming spiritually contented and stagnant. We can do that. And I'll talk about that next week. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, I'm going to read you some things. This is immature spiritually people. Immature spiritually people. Listen to what the writer says. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time, as a disciple, as a Christian, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. The elemental truths of God's word all over again. You need milk like a baby, not solid food like a maturing, growing person. See, Satan loves to do that. A baby. And when we basically become contented, there's no growth. And the world knows it. They can see it. And you and I know that. I'm Christian, Pastor Mark. I accepted Jesus Christ. Terrific. This is my fire insurance policy for hell. I'm not interested in anything else. That's exactly what he's talking about. I got what I needed. God saved me. I'm going to heaven. Careful. You're in a wrong, dangerous place. That was a gift he gave you. It was an insurance policy to heaven. We have to obey him and love him. And that's why we do it through the word. Now, here's what he goes to say. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, did you get it? Is not acquainted with the teaching of the righteousness. In other words, they don't know what is right and what to do. They don't understand the priorities of life, God, people, and the use of our time. No, they're into the worldly stuff. But solid food is for the mature. This is solid food, the word of God, not milk. They are constant who have been trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. There's a discipline again, training ourselves. That isn't right. I know the difference between right and wrong, good from evil. Now, Paul wasn't happy with his life. Now, I don't know, I'm sure, I don't know what went in his mind all the time, but nothing like this. He was a strong work in the Lord. He was mature like crazy. In fact, when I look at Paul, and if he says to me, I haven't arrived, I'm thinking, I don't have a chance in the world. I have to live like Methuselah 900 years or something to get there. But he absolutely was humble. He wasn't satisfied, and you and I should not be satisfied either. Now, the more we learn about Jesus, the more the enemy will try to come at us. But the enemy wants us to be two things. Basically, content. Don't need to work on anything. Don't like those words. Strain, stretch. I don't like that. Not interested. I'm just going to float along. Or number two, stagnant. Not go anywhere. That is exactly what Satan wants. And that's not what God wants at all. So the whole problem is this. Slow to learn. Dullness of hearing. Very little interest in the word of God. Now, they had really an unreceptive attitude. And that's why when that soil is out there, it's kind of a hardened soil. You can't get the seed into the heart, the spiritual heart, because there's not really an interest. And that's why God is here. And that's why Paul said, I'm challenging the church. And it's not in a negative way. He's trying to say, careful, because there's somebody always after you saying, don't listen to the stuff this guy's teaching. It's not biblical. It's 100% biblical. And God is in us. He will grow us spiritually if we go forward with him. Now, here's another thing. Knowing and obeying the word is essential to spiritual maturity. And you've been here long enough, you know this, that I tell you, as a Christian, as a disciple, you have to have about a 4.5 to 5 hour devotional every single morning. Why are you laughing? It's because I'm lying. We could never live that way. You got fat kids and school and work and whatever. But you need to have some kind of a established 35 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, however, reading the word, making a devotional, write something down. What did God say to you? See, I do that every day. But God sometimes says, well, you didn't do very good yesterday, so he wakes me up at 5 a.m., and I have to get up and write it. And my wife comes out, and she says, what were you doing up at 4 a.m. with the light on? I said, I just have a little talk with God. And that's where he gives you. You know the title that we have? I told you already the title we have. God says, let's go forward together. You know where that came? 4 a.m. in the morning. Back in November for this year. So God will speak to you. So don't say that, well, it's going to be horrible. I'll be there 15 minutes with the Bible. Enjoy it. That's what grows us. But you can't just read it. You got to obey it. That's what he's talking about, discipline. Now, Pastor Mark, can I ask you this privately? No, you can ask it publicly. Is there a quick fix to spiritual maturity? The answer is no. When Paul talks about the journey of life, he's talking about a race. He was a sports fan, a race. The journey we're on is not 50 yards and you win the race. It's a marathon. It goes from the day you're born again to the day we leave heaven. It's a marathon. Long obedience, great book. Long obedience in the same direction. Forward. Long obedience. Now, when you see that, I want to just say thank you. Because so many of you, the majority of you that I'm speaking to, all of our campus, Vieira, Sebastian, there's thousands of people watching online from all over. Thank you. Thank you guys here. All of that. Because you are growing. You're here. You're listening. I can tell when I speak to you that you're not going, boo, get rid of that guy up there. Now, you might do it under your breath, but God will take care of you. And it's just a blessing. I'm serious. You are amazing people. And even with what happened last year and how we had to jerry-rig and all, you've helped so much. You've been honest with your mask and the distancing. We have guest services people that make the place fantastic. And all of you are serving. Remember when we didn't have enough people to help with the kids? They did. And our kids' ministry now is fully taken care of. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want to say, no, there is no quick fix, but you're maturing and you're helping and you listen to God and you're obeying His word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Enemy number three, I don't like this one, devil. He's the one who continues to try to keep us living in the past. He's always bringing that up. We learned that. Tell him, I don't live in the past. God's forgiven it. I'm done with it. And then basically, he loves to tempt us to make excuses. Here's the next one. We strain forward against being irresponsible. Irresponsible. See, that can't be a disciple who's a lifelong learner under discipline. That doesn't fit a disciple. It's a baby Christian or a really weak disciple. Now, see if you can finish this statement. You can lead a horse to water. I didn't hear the end of that. Well, let me show you the end. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. You know what she's doing? She's got the hose turned up high, stuffed it in the mouth. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, it actually has a lot to do with us. Now, think about this. Let me ask you the question. It's personal. I'll put my name in it. Who is responsible for forgetting the past and letting go of it? Who is responsible for it? Me. Use your own name. You. Your spouse can't ask you, forget that, forget it. No, you have to do it. Next one. Who is responsible for straining forward into their future and becoming a growing spiritual disciple? Who's responsible? I am. I wish I could say to you that I'm like super, super spiritual. And if I say this to you, you'll go home. Man, I'm changed. I'm going forward because Pastor Mark said to. It doesn't work that way. You have to say, God, I'm going forward. Help me. I'm going forward. I'll be bold in my witness. I'll be good in my works. See, you can bring a person to the statement going forward, but I can't make you go forward. And if I could, it'd be useless for you because there's no zeal or passion in it. You have to do it yourself. You can't be irresponsible. That's basically what it says. Now, basically, many people are irresponsible when it comes to the spiritual life. And Charles Stanley used to write this, and I like it. Listen to it. We work at our play. Nothing wrong with play. We play at our worship. Wrong. And we worship our work. Wrong. Do you know that many marriages dissolve because of that? You worship your work, not God. So you guys were great worshiping. And the last song we're going to sing is, God, send a revival. You're going to be excited with that. And I'm going to watch you sing. And I want you to worship God. Do we need a revival? Oh my goodness. God of revival. We'll sing at the end. So the goal, look what he says in verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, key word, called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, the goal is to think and be and minister like Jesus. We already told you about that. And then live by that. But step number three is this, pursuing God's purposes for me today. The word press in the original means this, as one would follow a calling. Remember we learned last week, Saul didn't follow God. He liked God, he knew God, but he hated Jesus. And then when he had an interaction with Jesus from heaven, everything changed. His purpose changed totally. And the first thing he did after he came to Christ, he went and started sharing the gospel right away. He knew that's what God said. God says, I'm going to send you to give the gospel to kings and all kind of people in authority and to Gentiles and Jewish people in the world. But you're going to suffer for it. That was his purpose. Is that what God had planned for him to do? Now, when you see that, a purpose is something or someone exists, and basically the goal is to find what God wants in my life. That's why the Bible says, there's a great passage in the Old Testament. The people were saying this, God, we don't know what to do. I love this verse. But our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. See, we're dependent on God. And so when Paul understood the purpose, God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and off he went. And he's writing all these epistles. He's a missionary. He's amazing. He's doing all that. Now, when that came, here's what you need to understand. There's three basic calls that God gives us. Here's the first one. God's call to salvation. Every person is born a sinner, separated from God because of their sins. Every person in the world, ever born. No one can be good enough. There's no question about that. To get to heaven because of their goodness. No, you need forgiveness. The only person that can forgive us is Jesus. That's why God sent him to the cross. He paid for all of our sins. So that person, if they want to become a Christian, they're called to salvation, and God's doing that always. By the way, he calls everybody, believers and unbelievers. The Holy Spirit is the one that really calls the unbelievers and says, you have no purpose in your life. You need God. You have sins that need to be forgiven, and God knows how to do that. So he provides for that greatest forgiveness that we need that can only come from God. We have to repent and put our faith in him. Now, look at what that sounds like. Without a personal relationship with God, life has no purpose and meaning. Why do you think so many people continue in our world to commit suicide? There it is. And the virus helped it worse because they felt there was no hope. We have hope. His name is Jesus. He's the hope of the world. Now, look at this, John 1:12. John wrote it, to all who believed him and accepted him. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they've never accepted him as a personal Savior. He gave the right to become children of God. The second call that we get is called sanctification. That means I'm going to do what God has set me apart for his use. And that's really the next step is discipleship. Basically, sanctification, spiritual growth and maturity. I become a born-again Christian, and then I move on to sanctification process. By the way, that never, ever gets finished on the earth. We then move to something called glorification. Glorification is the third step. I'm not going to talk about it except for a second. That means I'm going to be in heaven. And glorification, how could I ever be in heaven and be glorified? Well, because in heaven there's no sin. Could I hear an amen right there? Because I don't have to worry about being tempted. There is no sin. Until heaven, you have the three enemies, always. But God empowers us to say no to those things. Now, Colossians, Paul writes this. Look what he says. And now, just as you accepted Christ, he's showing the growing. As your Lord, Christian, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots, spiritual roots, go down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth as you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, once we're born again, God calls us to a life of spiritual growth and maturity. That's that statement, basically, of sanctification. And then we are growing as disciples of Christ. Understand, as I said to you, we'll never reach perfection here. Never. It doesn't matter who they are. There was only one person that ever lived in this world that was perfect, and that was Jesus, because he was born with no sin and never sinned. That's why he was the only one that could go to the cross, because he was perfect, to pay for all of our sins. He took your sins. The third calling is another one I want to thank you for. The call to service. The call to service. Remember I told you God could have called angels. And angels could have done so much more than you and I could ever do. But he didn't want to do that because he loves you. You're made in the image of God. And when we get to tribulation, I told you, he will use angels to go all through the world. But we're not living in the tribulation. We're here, and he's using you. Now, what do you say, Pastor Mark, what do you mean by service? Well, here's what, who wrote this again? Ephesians, look at it. For it's grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by your works, so that no one can boast, oh, I'm really good. I'm going to heaven. Wrong. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. You know, when you were born, when I was born in my mother's womb, God already had a plan for me. And same for you. Same for you. And that's amazing to me. He knows our future. He knows the plans for us. And he has that plan and purpose for every single one. And it gives us a picture of how much he loves every one of us. He just didn't sit us here and say, have fun. See what happens in the world. No, he gave us a plan and a purpose and a goal. Now, here's something you need to understand. God first works in us. Then he works through us. Did you get it? If I don't know what salvation really is, how could I explain it to somebody else? No. He works in us, growing me to be like Jesus. Perfect? Never. But moving in the right direction. And then God can use me, as I did with those five people. He can use me. I didn't get the book of Revelation and go through them. I just talked about Jesus. That's what people need to hear. Jesus is real. And so when that happens, God can work through you. Just the same thing. You see, God loves the whole world. Lost people matter to God. And that's why we're here. He knows the tasks he wants us to do and to serve him. And thank you so much for serving God in so many different ways and being fruitful in your walk with God. Now, remember I told you at the beginning, God is not finished with us, with Christ followers. And what does that mean? Let me show you. God gave me that. I knew he wasn't finished with me. But then a verse came right to my mind. Take a look. And when I read it, I want you to start clapping. Here it is. Here is why God is not finished with new Christ followers or maturing disciples. Here's why he's not finished. Here it is. Guess who wrote this? Paul. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will stop it when you're 61. Is that what it says? No, we'll continue his work until it's finally finished on the day that Jesus Christ returns. Don't become discouraged. God is at work in us. What he started, he will finish, but we have to work with him, and we have to follow him. What a joy. What a promise. When I read that, I went, thank you, because I would have never made it this far. Because you're at work in me all the time through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful promise that God gave us. Now, here's another picture, and I want you to see this. This is Dr. David Livingstone. He was a medical missionary way back to Africa, And when he returned to Great Britain, that's where he was raised as a Christian, in Great Britain. He was asked by a friend of his, where do you want to go now that you're back from Africa? After all that time, wow, amazing. Where do you want to go now? Look what he says. I'm ready to go anywhere, provided forward. Now that is an amazing statement. After all he did, he said, well, I'm just going to sit here and kick back for the rest of my life, baby. I'm tired of that. No, he says, I'll go anywhere God wants me as long as it's forward. What's our whole series about? Forward. Amen? That's it. Take a look at this. Let's go forward with God. That's your future. That's my future. God is not finished with us, but we're going the right way. And he's changing our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, I know there's people listening to me. Some of them used to follow you, but they walked away from you. And they know life is empty. And they want a new start, but Satan has said to them, no, 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 you sin way too much. God will never forgive you. He's a liar. You can come home today, but you're going to have to repent. Just say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. He'll forgive and forget them. And then just make a rededication, a recommitment to really follow him as you used to. But some of the rest of you, you've never accepted God's call, his invitation. You've never even knew what that was. But when you listen today, you know he is calling you to accept his love because Jesus died for you. And God wants you to begin a brand new life by repenting of your sins. He'll give you a clean slate and put your faith and trust in him as his. He'll be your Lord and Savior. If you do that, you will have meaning and purpose in your life. Today is the day to let God totally change your life. Respond to his loving call, and you will never be the same. So if you want to become a Christ follower for the first time or make a recommitment, then just quietly wherever you're at, online, at the campuses, in the balcony, here, wherever, just pray this prayer quietly after me right now. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I do believe you died on the cross for me. And right now, I choose to repent of my sins. And God, I ask you to forgive me. And I want to put my faith and trust in you. I want to follow you the rest of my life and become more like you and change other people's lives as you're going to change mine. Today, I receive that gift of salvation. Thank you. You're a generous God. And I look forward to a life that finally has purpose and meaning for me. Thank you for saving me. Amen.